We're going to look at the Gospel of Luke today. If you have your Bibles, turn along and read with me. The 18th chapter, and I think what's going on here, it doesn't say in the text, but I think what's going on here is that Jesus is taking an emotional survey of his followers. And he's kind of seeing them, and they are getting tired, and they are getting a little discouraged. And I think Jesus knows that one of the most potent weapons in the arsenal of the evil one to break the human spirit is discouragement. And you try and you try and you try and you pray and you pray and you pray. And we've talked many times about why some prayers seem not to be answered. It may be the timing, it may be a lot of different things, but you don't understand that at the time. And so he's looking out over his disciples and he sees that they're getting discouraged. And he knows that he's not going to be with them forever. He's telling them that, but they just can't get it. And then he knows after that there's going to really be discouragement. And he knows that right now he could just give a halftime pep talk. He could say to them, hey, guys, don't get discouraged, you know? But he knows that that is going to be lost, that they're going to forget that, that the energy and the emotion of actually having him there saying that is going to kind of drain away. And so what does he do? He packs a lunch for them. Now, we don't do that anymore. We eat out all the time. But in the old days when we used to pack our lunches, you didn't have to be reminded that you packed a lunch. Now, what would do that? Your hunger spot would let you know that you had to do that. And you would maybe even forget about it during the morning. But that was all right, because when you got hungry again, you were going to remember that you got a lunch there and you can go and eat. The same way with the story that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He is saying, I'm giving you a lunch. And you're probably going to forget about it, but I guarantee you when you start getting discouraged, you're going to remember it's there. And that's the story of the persistent widow. Shall we read together? Then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care for men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with all of her coming. And then the Lord said, after giving the story, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, this story has been going on for many days before we get to it. And in telling the story, Jesus is saying to us that there is basically two characters in the story. And both of them have speaking parts, but very brief speaking parts. But we understand the dialogue, and we understand what's been going on up to this time. Here you have, on the one hand, you have a woman. On the other hand, you have a man. But more than having a woman, you have a widow. Now, if you were in Jesus' day, and you were a woman, and you were not independently wealthy, and you would lose your husband, and perhaps you would even lose your sons if you had any, like Naomi did in the book of Ruth, you simply had no legal, economic, or social standing in the community. That you were completely at the mercy of the community. That you had no one to speak for you unless you could go out as a woman and you could find an advocate for you to stand up for you. You had no basis, you had no grounds, you had no recourse in Jesus' day but to give in to the inevitable. And no matter how right you were and how wrong somebody else was, you would not find any way in which to bring that to a resolution because you were a widow. Now, in telling us that she is a widow, and maybe this story appeared in the newspaper and Jesus is just retelling it for us, I don't know. But because she is a widow, that means that she is someone without power. She is powerless. If you want the epitome, if you want the symbol of someone that does not have any power at all, then here is this widow in the story. So Jesus is saying, over here in this corner, we have a woman and she is a widow. She's had injustice done to her, but she is without power. She has no power whatsoever at all. Now, I think that all of us can identify with that in life, that we get in situations, either they're emotional situations, relational situations, career decisions, or whatever, and we get in a situation where we feel like we don't have any power. That is completely out of our control. We have nothing to say. We have no ground to stand on. We have no recourse. We are simply powerless. So any time in our life, any of us could become that widow in the story. She is the symbol of being without power. Now, on the other side, we have the powerful. We have the judge. Here come the judge. Here we have the judge. Now, the judge really is the all-power person in this community. If you ever go before this judge, he has your life in his hands. Whatever he says, there is no court of appeals, there is no Supreme Court. He is the final word in this community. And heaven help you if you go before this judge. I don't know if any of you have ever gone before a court or before a judge, and a lot of times the way they pick judges is really by the roll of the dice. And I've had lawyers say of people, you've never been there, and I've never been there, but people I know who have been there, and they come to me and say, oh, we could not have gotten a worse judge. He's a hanging judge. I mean, he's the worst judge to work with, and others say, well, we want to try to get this judge. Well, nobody wants to get this judge. This judge is the worst judge of all. Because this judge, we are told, he does not fear God. In other words, he's unscrupulous. In other words, he has no basis for right and wrong. He has no ethic about him. And you get the impression from the story that he is not above taking something underneath the table. And probably a lot of his decisions and a lot of his outcomes are dependent upon what he gets from the people participating, who has the highest bidder. We're also told in this story that he doesn't care for people. That means he doesn't have a compassionate bone in his body. So this widow can come. Have you ever heard of throwing yourself on the mercy of the court? There's this ain't no mercy in this guy's court, you know. So here we have a woman who is powerless, and here we have a man who is powerful, and they clash, and they have to come together. And the plot of the story is very simple. She's had an injustice done to her, and everybody recognizes that it is. And the person that probably did that is going around like a peacock strutting around because he knows that she doesn't have anything she can do about this. And probably she has been on the docket, and maybe the judge got paid off and he just pushed her off the docket, or maybe the judge felt that she's so insignificant, I've got more important things to do, that she never gets her day in court. And that's it. That's over. It's done.